did have a question, because when I watched the film, I just wanted to know, how did you, was there a break between Winnie and Tigger? Did you give yourself some, like, a day or two to do, or are you able to just jump into character?
No, you just jump in and start swimming. You know, it's not a, yeah. I'll do Pooh first, but Tigger's right there. Yeah, no problem. Just to keep them separate, you know. And it helps that we're schizophrenic. And so are we. So it's fine. Yeah.
Where visually do you go in your head when you do your voices? Like, where are you?
Gosh, I don't know. I wish I had a really good answer. But I can tell you this. The very first time I ever saw a video recording of me doing Winnie the Pooh, I was standing there and my shoulders were slumped and my belly was sticking out. And I went, oh, that's... And it was a still shot. And I said, okay, that's Pooh. And then when Tigger was there, it was more like this. And, you know, and I said, well, that's Tigger. So I probably do that sort of thing without even thinking about it, and it seems to work. So
Tigger has a lot of energy. Do you ever find like you had to really pull this part out of you to come to that energy level?
No, I probably have to tamp it down to keep from going over too far. It's, you know, Tigger's a wonderful thing. Yeah. I don't know if you know that, but it's a true story.
Tigger does. Just keep you busy.
Yes, indeed.
Jim, when you heard they were doing a live action feature on Christopher Robin, I mean, did you think that you had to think about it in a different way compared to the animation?
No, I think part of the charm is that it has to be them, you know? It has to be our buddies that we've all come to know and love. It was a little less bodacious because there were no waterfalls. Wow, that was fun. Live, everybody. Is this live? I have no idea. I feel like calling people. Can I call somebody? Let me call Peggy and tell her to watch this live. Okay, watch this live. We're on Facebook?
Facebook Live, yes.
Facebook Live.
Okay, and that just proved it, and that just occurred to me. And how do we find that?
The Millennial Mamas.
Yes.
The Millennial Mamas.
Yeah.
Wow. This is live, too, with the Millennial Mamas. Wow, this is great.
Voice command.
Wow. Hi, everybody. And we're still ticking. Oh, excuse me, there's water going to come on my thing here. Hi. Did I mention we're live? Where were we before I was so busy? It's a very windy day today. Oh. It must be a Wednesday. See how I worked that in?
Live action compared to animation.
It was a little live action there. No, it was great. It was... It was actually more subdued, I think I mentioned it, because, you know, no waterfalls, no runaway hot air balloons. So, and it was, if you think about it, it was kind of a period piece. You know, went from the 20s to the 40s, obviously, through World War II. And so, therefore, I was a little less bodacious, you know, a little more pulled back. And I thought it was just elegant. I didn't write it, but Mark was amazing, Mark Forster. Brigham and Kirsten, the producers, I thought the vision was just gorgeous and so seamless. I'm just proud as can be. I hope everybody likes it.
Beautiful. Did you get to work with any of the actors?
No, I can't stand those guys. No, it was great. No, I did the recordings first, and then they had something to work with on set. You know, they played it, and they had the little sort of dummies, I guess you would call them, little gray guys that the puppeteers would walk through the 100-acre wood and give Ewan and Haley and everybody something to lock onto visually. And I guess it was like, and I did something like that actually in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I was one of the weasels and Yosemite Sam's bullets in his gun. And this is another live. Did I mention we're still live? And I was literally off camera with Bob Hoskins, bless his heart. He was all wrapped up in 500 rolls of masking tape that the scene never even got on there. But I was on set right there, and I had black velvet cloak around me with a little hole like this so I could stick. So I went and reflect light onto the scene. And Bob Zemeckis would go, action. And I go, hey there, buddy, what are you doing there, you know? And it was, and so that was fun. But we didn't do that this time. And I get it, because I would have, I don't know if it would have been distracting, because, you know, he had to focus on Pooh sitting on that log, you know, or Tigger over there bouncing out of that log. And, you know, when you saw the photos, when you saw the footage of them doing it, there's somebody in a gray suit that's being green screened out going, "Here I come, I'm Tigger now." And it's, you know, and they were doing, you know, doing their perfect impression of me. And so there were a few lines that we had to fix afterwards. So it was a different process, but I wasn't on set, but we all hung out and chilled and had a good time afterward. Yeah.
Do you get to go off script, or are you very much on script each and every line?
Almost never on script each and every line.
I love that.
you know, but I think they hire me for that sometime, because, you know, you have to bring something to the party too. Yeah, they can't write everything.
I can't see Tigger or Pooh. Well, Pooh. Script is pretty much.
He's a little more laid back, yes.
Yeah. But,
he got in his moments. I guess what I'm saying is that Pooh got in his moments too. I think the line when Christopher was walking away from the tree, well, that's a very silly answer. Well, thank you. You know, and he took it as a compliment. And the Say What You See game, dog, farmer, ranch, I don't know what that is. You know, I threw that in and it got a laugh. So you know, you do a little improvising here and there too. Kind of keeps it live, keeps it in the moment.
You've done so many, I mean, voices. I mean, where do you find them?
Well, I don't know. I can't start analyzing it now. I'll be doomed. No, I'm actually a huge failure. I wanted to be a mime, and I can't tell you how. I mean, I just crashed and burned. But it's. I think it's an amalgam of all your experiences. I remember reading James Dean had a line. That was a Disney butterfly CGI that just went by. They're good, right? But I think it's a job of an actor to be a sponge. And we're all just character actors, guys like me. And, you know, guys and gals like me. We're character actors, and we're doing characters. And because people focus on the voice and the this and the that. And it's the character first. And that's just how they sound when they talk. Or yell or scream or do all the various things they do. Howl.
Do you ever think in your characters' voices sometimes, like, something happens and you just, like, channel Pooh, or you channel Tigger, or Eeyore,
kind of,
or somebody?
Kind of, you know, I do and I don't, you know, like, some horrendous thing will happen, and I go, oh, bother, you know, and it's, so, yes and no, and, you know, whichever appropriate character response comes up for the right horrible, terrible situation, that usually I drag him out for that, you know. It's a lot of fun.
Have you ever made reservations or called customer service in Pooh or any of your characters?
Every now and then. Not so much anymore, but I used to do it a long time ago. And I used to have, back when we all had tape machines, well, I could still do it now, but I'm not going to. I would come home, and I actually, it was from a character, Don Carnage, Tailspin, I think, was the first one I ever did that for. You know, the comics family, they're not here. They have better things to do than sit around waiting for the likes of you to call them. So leave them a bip when you hit this message. And we came home for the weekend, and I had 45 hang-ups. Because all they want, they just wanted to listen to it, and then you hear, so, you know, I don't even know who called. So I don't do that anymore. You want a message for your answering machine, don't you?
Yes,
I knew it. See, method to her madness. You're not fooling anyone.
Pooh is really profound, and have you found like one?
Thank you.
Yes, like, but his quotes and what he likes to say and the way he thinks. Has there been like one really good motto that you've taken with you through life from Pooh that's like your favorite? If you had one, like one of the great things that he says.
Well, I can't remember if it was Pooh or Tigger who said that instincts are the best stinks. And you follow those, and you'll be doing pretty well. But I always say Pooh's like the eye of the hurricane. He's very calm, and Tigger is the hurricane. And you know, I like that. I always get to where I'm going by just walking away from where I've been, and Mm-hmm. You know, doing nothing can often lead to the very best something. And it's a very, and I get, like, for Christmas, I'll get, like, two or three the Tao of Poos every year. and I say, okay, got it, you know. And it's that sort of a Zen approach. And he is a Zen master, I mean, after all. He's clearly a bear of a very great brain, actually. And I think Christopher nailed it when he said, you're not a bear of very little brain, you're a bear of very big heart. Mm-hmm. Say, aw. Say it with me. Aw. Thank you.
Now, with the Blu-ray DVD release, is there anything extra that we're going to get on the DVD?
Yes. I understand they had a fantastic narrator on the backstory of Winnie the Pooh. I could be wrong. I don't want to... You'll just have to buy them, won't you? Yes, America, you will. And Europe, you guys can join in too. You'll never guess who the narrator was. Oh, gosh, you're good. So, yeah. Behind the scenes making of. And we took out all the scenes where they, you know, Pooh, Tigger, and Christopher... fought off a Martian zombie invasion. We saved that for the Blu-ray. the outtakes.
That's a fun twist.
I didn't
see that coming.
Well, we won. we won, obviously.
And what would be a great line from that scene?
Oh, bother. It's the Martian zombie invasion. I'm going to bounce him right out of there. And then I did mention we won, right? Okay.
We all need another zombie movie.
So. Oh, don't we?
Will we be seeing more of Pooh and Tigger in the near future?
I certainly hope so. I think so. Apparently, the zombies have been regrouping. No, I have no idea. But if so, I would be proud to be there. Is that a good answer? I think that was a good answer.
What does it feel like doing the voices? Like, you know, while you're in the moment creating a Walt Disney classic, what does it feel like being there?
Well, I try not to take myself seriously, but I really take... I know I fool around and everything, but I take it actually very, very seriously because, to me, it's an honor. It's an honor. It's a privilege. I'm a Disney kid. I you know, I'm in my 60s. I had a Zorro guy went... Doing the Zorro there, I was Zorro for Halloween. I had a Zorro lunchbox. I still have my Davy Crockett hat. I was a Mouseketeer. You know, they took me out to Sears Roebuck, and I was 4 years old, sitting there, and I had a huge crush on Annette. And so it feels like I'm part of a beautiful tradition. And you know, I've always thought that Disney, Walt Disney, his vision, his legacy that he's carried on is like woven its fabric certainly into Americana. It's a part of the American landscape in every way, and indeed the world. And it's a privilege. It's an honor. I take that seriously, you know. And it's just I'm honored and blessed, and I thank God all the time. Yeah.
Well, you've been doing these Tigger and Pooh for over 30 years.
Maybe? Yes, yeah. Since 1987.
So they're definitely part of your persona.
Apparently so. Yeah, you're stuck with me.
I love that.
I'm glad to be.
Annette Funicello.
Oh yes, me too. Yeah, bless her heart. So, yeah.
Besides Pooh and Tigger, who would be your other favorite Disney character?
Well, I'm crazy about Darkwing Duck.
Yeah.
Because I am the terror that flaps in the night. I am the bug that splatters across the windshield of crime. I am Darkwing Duck. And let's see, I'm crazy about Ray from Princess and the Frog. He was one of my favorite guys because, you know, when I got out of high school, I was a deckhand on a riverboat. And you know, people think the Cajun accent, well, it's just a Southern accent. No, it's not. You know, because a lot of times those folks, you know, it's like, where are you from? I'm from Shreveport. But that's in America. Why do you talk like this? You know, and French was their first language. And so I was the new kid, and I was just out there, and I guess I just absorbed it at the right time. In fact, there's a character, non-Disney character, probably is a Disney character now, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I used the riverboat captain on my first trip out as the Leatherhead. He was a Cajun alligator villain. And that guy, he talk like that. That was the way that he talk, yeah. And I thought, wow, that's a scary. He scared me. And I was like 18. So he ended up a villain there. And then, speaking of the Cajun thing, and then Hondo Ohnaka from Star Wars Clone Wars. I like him a lot. And you never know, he may pop up again soon, too. And I can't say any more, or you'd have to kill me. Or something.
Was there anybody when you were growing up that also did character voices that you looked up to?
Well, sure. Definitely Mel Blanc. Mel Blanc and Paul Winchell, who I actually got to know really well. And I remember very young, I don't even think I was in grade school, Jack Benny had a show on TV. Excuse me. And my dad says, well, you know, you see this guy right here? I said, yeah. He goes, he's the guy that does voices for cartoon characters that you get up and watch every Saturday morning. He's the Tasmanian Devil. He's Foghorn, Leghorn, Bugs Bunny, Sylvester. I said, you're kidding. And I remember thinking, well, he doesn't have to stand in the corner for doing weird sounds and interrupting everybody, does he? And I thought, I'm going to do that, you know, because that's pretty good, you know. And so definitely Mel Blanc and, again, Paul Winchell. I was fascinated by him, by his ability to change his voice and almost interrupt himself, you know, with Jerry Mahoney and Knucklehead Smith. And it was amazing. And I ended up meeting him, and I told him, I said, I have to, that's such a great honor to meet you and know you. This is, you know, I can't believe I get to play tag team Tigger with you, because he was going back and forth to Africa to work on his experiments. He was curing hunger. It's a whole new story. But, I joked around. I said, well, I'm Tigger Light now, you know, until Paul gets back. And I had to tell him, I said, you know, as much as I loved it and everything, there was something about when Jerry Mahoney was sitting on your lap and he would go like this. Do that. It's a scare. And I was positive, like I was 4 years old, and I was pretty sure he was underneath the nightstand next to my bed doing that head thing, and it freaked me out. And he said, you know, if I had a nickel for everybody who told me that, I'd probably have a couple of bucks. No kidding. And he actually sounded a bit like Tigger when he spoke. God bless him. And so, yeah, I had a few heroes.
I love that.
Yeah.
I also grew up with the Mitchell Mahoney show.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where is
it? It was good stuff.
Yes.
I still remember Hartz Mountain was there. And I believe, boy, this is riveting right here. You're going to love this, America. I believe that that Art Carney's character was started from the Honeymooners. It was kind of a carryover. I think he did some cameos there. What do you say, man? He agrees, see? So, yeah. Good stuff.
Any advice you want to give to young future aspiring voice actors?
Sure. Be a sponge. Like I said, be a sponge and do bad impressions of people. That's a new character if nobody knows who it is. If you do a perfect impression of somebody nobody knows, that's a new character. And imitate your parents and aunts and uncles and teachers. They love that. They can't get enough. Oh, no, please, more. You know, that goes over really well. And, you know, just stay tuned. T-O-O-N-E-D.
Thank you.
I'm guessing you got in some trouble as a kid, huh?
No. Yeah. A little bit. Thank you
so much. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
All right.
Hey, buddy.
TTL.